So that was a little taste of what you can experience if you go down to the Painted Ship on Sunday, June the 18th. Do you know what the address is of the Painted Ship? You know where
it's West Broadway. Just past McDonald's. Yeah, it's in Kits.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. But
I can't remember what it used to be called. It used to be called, I've been told this a million times, and it used to be called something. Scrappers or something like that.
Doesn't matter. It's the Painted Ship.
It's the Painted Ship now. It looks really sick in there, and the food is supposed to be really great.
I'm excited.
And we're doing all four bands that you just heard are playing solo acts: Dead End Drive-In, Matt and Angus. We got Christy Lee Audette from Wrong, and myself, and Danny Boy from the Core. Plus, I'm going to be doing a reading. I'm going to be starting the night off with a reading from my new book, which I've never really done before. Never got to do a release show for Firelight because it was the middle of COVID.
True. Yes.
So I did an online one where I read a little bit, which was weird and weird. But now I got to do it in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm not nervous to speak, but I just don't know what to read because I don't know what to, like, do I spoil a bunch of shit? Do I start with an exciting action scene? Do I start with the prologue? Do I start I think I know what I'm going to do, but I asked a friend who works in the book industry and they were like, don't go for longer than 5 minutes and don't do this and all these rules. And I'm like, shit, I never actually thought about it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Read.
That would be weird because it needs to be enticing or at the very least end on something that makes you want to have something more, right?
Have something more.
Yeah.
When you watch it on TV, they're always like, there's this perfect section that ends on this beautiful note. And I'm just like, you can't read the end of a chapter without starting the beginning of a chapter. You don't want to spoil things and you don't want to read too far into the book because you're kind of like jumping ahead on the story.
Yeah. No, for sure.
So it's like I gotta pick a section really that works.
I'm sure you will find something excellent.
I think it'll be fine.
I don't know. I personally have a hard time. I read very well in my head, but I hate reading out loud. But I do it all the time for my girlfriend because she's dyslexic, so she has a very hard time reading.
Well, that's nice.
So I read her stories in bed, but I hate doing it. I like to do it because I like to share stories with her, but I hate the act of reading out loud. I always feel like I'm not reading it right because in my head it sounds proper.
And in my head I read often by sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like this person did this, or like person was this. I kind of like clump words together.
Yep.
And when you're saying out loud, you can't do that. You kind of have to go linear in my eye, kind of like.
Yeah, you start to lose your place a little bit or something, right? Yeah, it's hard to. Like my brain wants to read faster than my mouth can say the words.
Can keep up,
And I find it very odd. But I don't know. You did an audiobook version of Firelight.
I did, interesting enough to speak about recording it. But.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously having to do the whole audiobook, you've had to become pretty comfortable with auditorily reading out loud.
Yeah, I hated it, though.
No?
I absolutely hated the process of recording an audiobook, which is weird because recording is one of my most favorite things to do. Tell you why. I was like, the book was going to press on Monday. Mm-hmm. I thought I was done editing it. So I started reading the first chapter, and I was like, oh my God, this is hard. Like, this is going to take, not only is the file going to be huge.
Yeah.
Like, usually if you record bands, you do a couple vocal takes, you pick the best one or whatever. I got into like the first chapter and tried to do the voices and realized that I wouldn't have any time to like do two or three takes to the vocal and then edit a whole book because it was like, it was taking time. It was like hours were passing and I was like, oh my God, I'm only like at the prologue right now.
Mm.
And then doing characters and doing voices. So basically it ended up that I had to do the whole thing basically in one take, just like one constant. I would stop if I fucked up, but then like pick up, drop in right at that spot.
Interesting.
So I had to switch between the voices in my head on the fly, and I just was coming up with them at the same time. And if I had more time, it would be one thing, but as I found reading, I was like, oh, there's a typo, that's afraid of wrong. And then my book was going to production on Monday, so I realized I had like 3 days that I had to do this whole book in. So then it was like 12-hour shifts of me with my Kindle, reading the files, talking into a microphone, editing on my Roll Doodle rig at the same time. And if I made a mistake, I'd have to just quickly stop and do it again. And then I had to like edit all that together. Like it was, I think the end file was like 6 hours.
It is.
If you sit and read a book, it like takes a while. Like,
a very long time. Found out because I was on your Bandcamp before I came up here trying to find some stuff, and I realized that the audiobook is up on your Bandcamp.
It's up on Bandcamp,
which I'm very excited for because I want to read Third Son desperately, but it's been 3 years since I read it, so I know the story, but the finer details, I'm like, but I really don't want to have to sit and reread an entire book. But since I screen print, I'm constantly listening to albums and podcasts and audio dramas. I'm trying to get into audiobooks, but I have a hard time with people narrating to me because it sounds wrong.
I know.
But I'm going to listen to Firelight Because I can.
Yeah.
And it'll catch me up. And I don't know. I'm very interested to hear. I'm excited to hear that you do voices.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then to try and remember those voices, like have an impartial narrator, like character does this, and then this character does that, and then this fucking character does this. And it's like, oh, my God, who's who? But I have had a lot of people really positively respond to it. The reason why I'm less keen, I don't want to do one for this. A is like, I get why people do it after a book becomes successful.
Right.
Because if it isn't, like, I only maybe sold about 10 copies of the audiobook.
Right.
So it was a lot of work for a very little payoff.
Right.
But I have had a bunch of people come out of the woodwork and say that they really enjoyed it because they don't read that much.
Mm.
So, like, I don't want to let those people down. But also, it's going to have to be pretty successful for me to want to do the audiobook.
You could always shop out.
Yeah.
Have someone else do the reading.
For sure.
That's why I think most authors probably do it.
They
do that.
Because
it's either one, like, because, I mean, it's not just reading. There's also you're performing. You're acting. 100%.
Acting, yeah.
And that's very, very that's different. Hard. I think that's the hardest part about reading out loud,
yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, like, King, for example, amazing author. If you listen to him read, he's not the most compelling.
No, exactly. And that's why I gave it a shot, because I was like, I bet I could add enough that it would be compelling, and at least I know how each sentence, each word is supposed to be said, how I said it.
Exactly, right? You'd think, right? You'd think that, you know, like, the best person to read this story out loud would be the person that wrote it, but not always true.
No, not if it was a timid person. I mean, I'm luckily enough a singer in punk bands my whole life, so I understand that there's an expressiveness, I think, that has to come with something like that.
And you're comfortable on stage.
And I'm comfortable on a microphone
that,
yeah. And all that stuff. So I feel good about doing it. I just would have to... I would love to hire an actor, but that shows that if the book was so successful that I had a budget to do that, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I will probably still do one for this, but I'm dreading it. Straight up dreading it.
Well, I'll listen to the audiobook before I dive in, and
yeah.
I'll let you know what I think.
Let me know.
I'm very interested.
People seem to like it. But there's a few other things I'll mention interesting about audiobooks. Is like, so there's a character, Chaster Forley, who you remember in Firelight.
Yes.
He thinks his thought is italicized.
Yes.
In writing.
Yes.
So things that his internal dialogue is italicized. So when you're doing an audiobook, there's no way to relate that.
It's very tricky.
So for me, when I hear back, I'm like, why did Chaster say that weird line? Like, if somebody didn't get that it was his thought process, I would feel weird about that. Nobody's ever complained about that, but to me, that's like a red flag. Like,
yeah,
he didn't say that. It's in his head. Like,
yeah, but I find that if you... I've listened to the audiobook for It, and there's a ton of internal monologue in that stuff.
Yeah.
Stephen Weber does the reading for it, and it's an amazing job.
He change his inflection or something?
Yeah.
I didn't do that too much.
He changes inflection, or I don't really know what it is, but you understand it. Like, it makes sense. And I don't know if it's because I'm very familiar with that book.
With the work, yeah.
But there's also, I think, contextually,
yeah, it's not going to stump people. It's not going to be like, huh, but it's going to, some spots would seem out of place to
me. I do find it is a weird thing, because again, it's an internal, it's a hearing, you don't auditorily hear thoughts, right? Or what you're feeling conceptualized, and it's a weird thing that you can do in books that doesn't necessarily translate. That's why you can't do it in, like, film, for example.
Exactly.
Right?
Books have a special place of that you can write however you want, whenever you want, for any character you want. Like, you could do it all Cormac McCarthy style, no punctuation. Like, the rules can go out the window. And it works good as a character perspective. It works good as a fun way to describe a character's perspective.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's very interesting. I like books.
Yeah. I like the concept of writing, I think, a lot more than I did when I was younger, because I'm like, I'm seeing now the appeal of, like, you look at a guitar, you're like, oh, one day if I could play this, this would be so fun.
Yeah.
But, like, when you learn it, you're like, oh, it is fun. Now that I know the tools, now that I know how to play it, like, I can do whatever I want with this thing. So, like,
Correct. The
rules are kind of less important to me now.
Mm-hmm.
I would still stick to a method of the third book, but, like, I have other books I'm thinking of now where, like, format might be completely different, might change up entirely.
I am very interested, because the Firelight, I would call it a trilogy.
It's going to be the Firelight trilogy, yeah.
Right. So you have the third book planned out.
I got it all on this phone.
Yeah.
Right here.
Don't lose the phone.
Yeah. Well, I got it all up here too.
Backed up to the cloud.
Yeah.
But what is it? Because I mean, Firelight is the trilogy is a fantasy series.
Yes.
Is fantasy a thing that you've always been a fan of, or
fantasy
something that you
I've
want
always
to work
liked,
in?
Yeah. I don't know why I chose it to write with. I think I just didn't feel qualified enough to write real world perspectives, for one. Like,
fair.
Human characters that I don't have really the insight.
Reality is boring anyway.
Reality is kind of boring. It was during kind of COVID where I'm just like, fuck, you know, like, real world sucks right now, so at least, like, I can live within a world. And I like concept of fantasy because timeless stories, for one, it's what I grew up on. Mm-hmm. But I also hate a lot of it because so many authors reproduce the worst characteristics of our world in their world. Like,
yeah.
People who, like, oh, fantasy has to be misogynistic, it has to have, has to be, like, overly sexualized, it has to have all this other stuff that sucks about our real world. When you're creating your own world, you can do whatever you want.
You, like, would think.
You would think. People get up in arms, but it's like, as a writer, it was liberating to be like, I can, this world can have whatever rules I put to it, and, like,
damn,
it's
straight
fantasy. It doesn't matter. So it's fun to play around in a world where I don't feel qualified to write about different perspectives, but I can write about a world that none of those differences matter.
Right.
Like, Shrae Breton is in the army, is in a high city guard when you first meet her at the beginning of Firelight.
Yeah.
It's not special.
No.
That she's a woman in the army.
No, she
it's
just is.
Not a big deal. Yeah. It's like the patriarchy just doesn't exist as much in my world. So it's fun to just play in that world where it's like, I don't need to have any of my characters be jealous of her because she's a woman. You can be jealous because she's better than them in all in a lot of
ways.
Yeah,
well, that's Chaster's whole thing, is that
exactly.
He feels just one up just because
he hates her for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, he's
but not
the,
because
the center of attention. And sorry, how do you pronounce her name?
Shrae Breton.
Shrae?
Shrae, yeah.
Shrae.
Yeah.
That's the one thing about fantasy that's always hard, is that everything's always like
it's got different
a name, and there's like three, there's like a comma somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ah, just, you're just gonna, you're gonna be Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. And naming things is hard. You want to try and make it seem like a real name, because sometimes fantasy authors are named, your name is Glitzplork, whatever, like, it's a name that nobody would ever call it. Even in a fantasy world, no one's naming their kid that. But I do like Shrae's name. It rolls off the tongue. I'm surprised I came up with the names. I'm really bad at naming things. So Chasta Forley is a great name. Shrae Breton's a great name. There's a lot of other names that I like, and I don't feel like I'm good at naming things.
I don't know.
Because I don't name that much. I don't name the world. I don't name...
No, because there's like... There's what? I like, really, in Firelight, there's like four main characters, basically. Because there's like the captain, there's Shrae, there's Chaster, and there's Duncan is the elf, right?
Yeah, Duncan's the elf.
And
that's
basically the only characters that really matter,
cast.
Right?
Yeah, when I... This is a very interesting point to me for new writers, anybody listening who wants to write. Read Mark Twain's review of a book called Deer Hunter. He wrote it as an actual critique of the guy who wrote Last of the Mohicans, another one of his books.
Okay.
But it was basically like Mark Twain's rules for writing.
Mm.
And it's brilliant piece of just like point form rules for writing. But number four was very important to me. It said, never put anything in your book that doesn't have a really good reason to be there.
Fair.
So when I was writing Firelight, I was like, there's all these characters. Do I need to know who they are? No. Don't name them.
Yeah.
So I just, like, whenever I was in doubt, I went back to this Mark Twain rule that's like, why is this in the book?
Yeah.
If it doesn't matter to the plot of the book, then I'm not putting it in the book, even though it exists in the world.
Fair.
And that was really helpful because it just, like, point A, point B, streamlined what I had to do.
Mm.
I didn't have to get lost in the peripheral.
Right.
I was like, not in it, doesn't matter. It's about the caravan. The caravan is the story.
Yes.
Anything that doesn't relate to the caravan, not important to this story.
Right.
So I had kind of used the third son as that, whatever you want to call it, MacGuffin, if you want to call it that, of like a plot point that you got to anchor everything to. And if it's not about that, it's easy to get distracted. So that's why I think it's readable, and I think that's why it's why people kind of sit down and read it really fast, which is a lot of the reaction I get, is like, oh, I just sat down and read the whole book in 2 days. And
yeah,
it's
no,
like, that's
I
what
burned,
I like.
I burned through, I think I read Firelight in maybe a week tops, right?
Yeah.
You know, just sat
and
down.
And that's what I like.
Yeah.
Because they're not thick books. They're not hard books.
No, they're like 300 pages. You know, the chapters are like, you know, 15 pages max, right? Which is always like, whenever I'm reading a book and I get to a chapter and it's just like a 30 page, I'm like, there's like a break.
It just feels like work. It feels like so much
I'm like, I'll read like a 12,000 page book. I'm like, I just needed, I need little chunks where I can take a little break. I'm like, I might read like 12 chunks or chapters, however you want to break it up in a row.
That's your choice.
But that's my choice. But if my next barrier to like a break where I can make like a narrative stop is like 30 or 40 pages, like, that's a pretty big ask, man.
And I really like, I don't know, TV or whatever, or like superhero movies. I do like those little end of chapter perk ups.
Yeah.
Where you finish a chapter and sometimes you read a chapter and you're like, fuck, I hope I don't see these characters again for a while.
Hmm.
I like to end every chapter with a bit of a teeter, a bit of a swing up, so you're like really excited about getting back to those characters when their chapter comes around. Because I too fear a long chapter, and I fear getting lost, or I fear a book taking too long to wrap, to get interesting, to like smash together, too much setup in a book. So I hope that these are like you're intrigued and interested right away and stay that way because it's not a long book. You'll be done it fast if I keep your interest. So that's what I try to do.
Well, I think he succeeded so far in Firelight, and I'm very excited to get to give Third Son a try. I've got like maybe 50 pages left in Talisman, and then that's the next one. So I'm going to finish Talisman. I'm going to listen to Firelight.
Yeah, do it. Honestly, let me know what you think about it.
I'm very interested. As I said, like audiobooks, I have a real hard time.
Me too.
Same
as podcast. I don't really listen to podcasts either.
I'm big on podcasts.
Oh, yeah?
But podcast is fine because I don't mind conversation. It's that when I read, I'm like, I don't know, in your head, everything sounds how it's supposed to because that's how it's always been.
Yeah.
And then you get someone else's voice, and either the voice isn't right, or they don't do characters, or the inflection's wrong. Like, I was trying to listen to an audiobook of a wonderful book called Meddling Kids, which was by Edgar Castro. It's basically Scooby-Doo meets Lovecraft. It's the quick pitch. But I listened to the first intro, and it's supposed to be like this dark kind of nightmare sequence, and the way the person was reading it was just so, I'm like, you're butchering every word on the page.
Be scary.
Yeah, exactly. Be frightening.
Yeah.
It's fine. Okay.
That's fine. And also, audiobooks, last thing, is you really have to pay attention. So if you're working in my shop or something, and I run this off for a few seconds, I've missed some stuff.
True. Yeah. That can be a problem.
Don't do many audiobooks
as well.
Yeah,
I mean, I just screen print, so it's just me just printing shirts for a while. It's quiet. It's peaceful. It's just very hot. In
there. Yeah.
Very hot. We've got about 10 minutes left in the show. We've chatted a lot about books, which I'm fine with.
I can talk for hours. I've been dying. I've been working so long, you keep it so close to yourself, and now that it's out, I just want to talk about it and want other people to react to it.
No, that's why I'm very... I wish I could have read it so we could chat about it, but maybe I'll have you back on to talk about
it. It's different than music. You give somebody a link to an album, they can listen to it right away.
Yeah.
Whereas a book, you can't assume somebody's reading pace or like what their TBR list is.
It's good. We got 10 minutes left in the show. Again, you're listening to Rad Radio on CJSF. I've been hanging out with Jesse Labordet for the past while. He's got a brand new book called The Third Son, which is available now on Falter Press. Where's the best way they can get it?
Best way in town is from me just directly.
Yeah, I'm call Jesse.
Just call, or my website, jessielabordet.com.
There you go.
Has it. Or come to the show. Or if you're listening and you work for a publisher and you want to put me on some sort of distribution,
hey,
that would be great.
Hey, that would be
fantastic.
If you're
just like late night looking for authors to sign.
Yeah, just on the middle.
I can do it. I've sold units already. Come
there,
on.
There you go. Okay, I'm going to give you guys a quick little rundown of what's going on in our scene this weekend because I would not be doing my public service duty if I didn't let you know. So starting tomorrow night, that is June the 9th, you could go down to Redgate and see 8K747's Toy Tiger, Kids Help Phone, and I feel like that's the wrong... No, that's the right month. Okay. Kids Help Phone and Rugaroo? Anyways, this happened at Redgate. You could go to Bullies and see Flashback and Frozen with Second Nature and Place of Refuge. I don't know any of those bands. Or you could be in Vancouver. You could see Ill Scarlet with Royal
Ill
Oak.
Ill Scarlet?
And Lunchtime. It's happening at the Pearl on Granville Street.
What is the Pearl? What is going on here?
I don't know. Apparently, Brasser right now, as we're speaking, is playing with Ill Scarlet. But that's up at Runaways Lounge in Kelowna that our good friends and Kelowna Punk shows are putting on. The boys at Anarchy Coffee Roasting. Are you still roasting coffee?
I do sometimes. Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah. Mm. It's not a priority right now because I can only
do so many things.
So much stuff.
Yeah, you can only woodwork, garden, farm, write books, and roast coffee and write songs.
So one of those has to go, and right now coffee's going.
All right.
Going.
Well, if you roast some more, let me know because I love the guys at Anarchy Coffee, but importing coffee from Kelowna is a little expensive sometimes.
I didn't know that they were the ones who booked shows in Kelowna.
Yeah. They're behind the whole Kelowna punk shows. They're great. Jesse and Bailey. Yeah, they're doing awesome stuff up there. Yeah, Runaways Lounge, and they're doing a lot of stuff. It's very good, very good. If you want to go for a road trip,
I used to go to Kelowna for shows when I was in high school. That was my go-to place, the Pit.
Yeah.
The Pit at the university had a sunken, the stage was above, but the crowd area was sunken.
Yeah.
70s style living room, sunken style. It was wonderful.
Conversation pits.
So a lot of good shows there.
Interesting. So that is your Friday. Saturday, you can go to Slice, next door to Slice, which is an art studio. You can see Selfist. They're doing a record release with Murderers. You could also go on to Bullies and see The Furniture, Charlie Munro, and another
another man's gold. So that is your Saturday. Sunday, nothing's going on. But this Monday, there's two amazing things you can be doing. If you're out in Chilliwack, go to Mark's, which is a little secret venue. But just, you know, give us a shout. We'll let you know what's going on. Ask a Punk. You can figure it out. And you can see the return of B.A. Johnson. It's going to be super fun.
He's playing at a secret venue.
Yeah, he pops into Mark's. It's Chilliwack. So on your way to Vancouver, you just kind of pop into a little show at Mark's. It's fun. It's nice. Good times. They're great. And then, or you can go down into Vancouver. Where's that show happening at? It's at the Fox Cabaret. You can see Off With Their Heads. It's the 10-year anniversary of the album Home, which is my favorite Off With Their Head album. I'm going to be there. It's going to be fun. I'm going to be singing my little heart out.
I'm going to try to be there.
I don't know who else is on the bill.
Varg Wheel, the youth members of, I don't know how to pronounce that, Fire Next Time from Alberta.
Oh, they're great, yeah.
That's Varg Wheel. They're Dungeons & Dragons or fantasy-based new band from those folks, and it actually rips. Like they got lots of albums, a couple albums on EPs out.
Know about that.
Yeah, no, check it out. They definitely rip.
Okay, I'm going to play in something else, and I think we should go out on that because it sounds amazing. Yeah. I love Fire Next Time. They're great guests.
Yeah, no, so I wish I knew the right song to play.
I know. We'll find it. In the meantime, while we figure out what this, what's the band called?
Varg Wheel. VRG.
Okay, we'll find it. In the meantime, I got a message from Chad over at Stomp Records. He's like, hey, man, you know the Penske File? I'm like, I do. Those are nice boys. I haven't seen them in a long time. He's like, well, they got a brand new album coming out, and here's the single. Do you want to play it on your show? And I said, sure, Chad, for you, anything. So this is brand new music from the Penske Files. They're hardworking boys. Their new album. Album's coming out soon. I don't know the name of it yet, but it's coming. So check out Stomp Records. Check out the Penske File. This song's called Chorus Girl. You ready? Let's go. Rad Radio.
Chorus
So that was new music from the Penske File. The song was Chorus Girl off of their upcoming album on Stomp Record called Half Glow. Check it out. It's not released yet to the public, but it should be coming out in a couple days. You can find it. So go follow Stomp Records, follow the Penske Files, and you will be in the know for when it's out and ready and available to you.
Travis from the Penske File also has a solo album right now, too. You should listen to
it. Oh, that's right.
Audible Ghost.
Yes. I forgot all about that. That's a different band. Never mind. I'm like, is it one of them animating? But that was Gentleman's Pack. Different guys from back east. Anyways, you've been listening to Rad Radio on CGSF 90.1 FM. I've been hanging out here with the past hour with Jesse Laborde. He has a brand new book entitled The Third Son. You can get it now at jessielaborde.com. You can go to the show at the Painted Ship Sunday, June the 18th. See Jesse.
Father's Day.
See Danny Boy. See Matt Earl and Angus Lee, yeah, from Dead End Drive-In. And see Christy Lee Audette from Wrong. You can hear Jesse read something from his brand new book. You can pick up a copy. I highly suggest you do it. Jesse, anything else you want to say to the folks out there?
No, thank you so much for having me. And to anyone who reads my book, thank you so much. And please, just thank you for letting me keep doing this kind of silly stuff. So
buy it. Go.
Or just read
go
it.
Buy it.
Just read the point. It. I just want you to read it.
Read it. Yeah, put it in your eye holes. That'd be great. Right. And then pay him.
Yeah.
Because food's expensive.
I take the money, yeah, for sure.
That's true.
Got to work on the third one.
Yes. All right, that's pretty much it. We'll see you guys next week. We're going to go out on one band here. How do you pronounce it again, Jess?
I don't know. Vargwheel?
Vargwheel! You wrote a fantasy book, so why not end on a fantasy song? Sounds good to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we'll see you guys all next week.